In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And you know what? We made it by the hair of our chinny chin chin today. Well, you know what? God knows how to do things, and we're looking at Ephesians, and we're looking at Ephesians 1 and the third verse. Paul cannot help but worship God. Listen. Oh, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Paul can't help but praise God. Blessed be God. According as he hath chosen us, he has chosen you in Christ before the foundation of the world. Oh, it wasn't just at a whim that God had. He chose you from the foundation of the world that we should be holy. And holiness comes from being in relationship with Jesus Christ, that we should be holy and without blame because he shed his blood for us before him in love. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children, we are the adopted children of the Father through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ we have been adopted. In his blood we have been adopted. According to the good pleasure of his will. Oh, we want his will to be done in us on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, yes, we are his children, adopted. I was specifically chosen before the foundation of the world as a son of God. Way before my mother even thought of having me. Way before my mother even existed. I was chosen, predestined by him from the foundation of the world, from the foundation, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. For those people who have a rotten self-image, you are accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted in Jesus. Jesus will never reject you. The Father will never reject you. You are accepted in Jesus. You might have a rotten self-image. You must think, you know, you're miserable, you're hateful, you're a worm. Get over it. Come on. Just get over it. You're just like me. We need Jesus. And you've been accepted. You've been accepted in the Beloved. In the Beloved, you have been accepted. Do you understand what I'm saying? You belong to him. He chose you from the foundation of the world. That's why Paul starts off with, "Oh, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He cannot help but worship. He cannot help but worship because this is the greatest thing. That people, Paul, who killed Christians now, was predestined from the foundation of the world. That Paul, when he was killing Stephen, was predestined from the foundation of the world, that God doesn't make mistakes. Predestined to be adopted children through the blood of Jesus. Predestined. Do you know God has a plan for you? In whom we have redemption through his blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Why don't I hear the preaching of the blood? Why don't I hear the preaching of the blood of Jesus? We have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus, and we've had the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Redeemed by the blood. You are a bought person. You were bought with the blood of Christ. You are not worth any diminishable price of silver or gold. Know who you are. Predestined from the foundation of the world. Bought with the price, not with any diminishable silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Oh, and all this before the foundation of the world. In other words, nothing happened without God willing it to happen. He knew you before before you even came into existence. He knew you and what you'd do before you came into existence. He knew you, that he would forgive you in the blood of Jesus if you were repentant. You didn't have to wallow in your garbage any longer. It doesn't do any good. Wallow in your garbage. Come on now, put your face in the garbage. No, it doesn't do any good. You were washed clean with the blood of Jesus. If Paul wallowed in the garbage that he had committed, killing people, putting Christians in jail, you know what would have happened to Paul? He would have been an emotional basket case. But he said this, I'll tell you what St. Paul said, he's my friend. One thing I do, I forget what lies behind, and I press on for what lies ahead. Resurrection life in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to remember what lies behind, because I used to kill Christians. I used to put them in jail. I have to do that, because it's under the blood. It's under the blood. That's why people don't preach the blood. Why won't we preach the blood? You know, we as Catholics should be preaching the blood more than anybody. We have the precious blood of Jesus on the altar. We have the precious blood of the Lamb on the altar. The same blood that was crucified and that blood that came down. The same blood. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, yes, we have the blood. And we don't preach the blood. I don't understand it. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, he washes white as snow. Hallelujah. I tell you, the devil doesn't like you singing about the blood. He doesn't like you singing about the blood, and he doesn't like you singing about grace. Because, oh my Lord, if we had to depend upon our own power, we'd all be licked. If we had to depend upon our own merits, we'd all be sunk. But it's the grace of God that comes to us through Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Listen to what it says. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Oh, he has abounded toward us, toward you, with all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. He made known the mystery of his will. Let's see what it is. According to his good pleasure. In other words, he liked it. He'd like to make known the mystery of his will to you, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that's when Jesus came, at the Kairos moment, at the right moment, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and that which is on earth, even in him. That he would gather in Christ everything in heaven and on earth. For there is one body of Christ. We make God schizophrenic. We make the church schizophrenic. Listen, he has gathered in Christ all the things in heaven and all the things on earth. In other words, there's one body of Christ. You have to know this. The body of Christ is in heaven and the body of Christ is on earth. It tells us in the letter of the Hebrews, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, that the body of Christ in heaven and the body of Christ on earth is the same body. It is the same body. Some happen to be in heaven, some happen to be on earth, and some happen to be in purgatory. It's the same body. It is one body. What does it say? What does it say? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, the Kairos moment, the right moment, that he might gather together, come on, like a chicken gathers her little chicks underneath her wings, gather together in one all things in Jesus Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Christ, that we are all gathered together. We're one body. Don't you think that those people that went before us care about us? Don't you think that they care about us? Remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, that Moses and Elijah appeared to him? Elijah had ascended into heaven, but Moses died on Mount Nebo. Oh, but Moses was very much alive, and he was communicating with Jesus. Oh, yes, talking about his departure into Jerusalem. Listen to this. I'm telling you, I've got brothers and sisters that I don't even know of. They're in heaven, and they're rooting for me because they know heaven and earth are one in Jesus Christ. Heaven and earth are one in the Messiah. The people in heaven are not dead. They are not dead. They are alive. They have been gathered together in Christ with us. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you think they're praying for us? Don't you think they're rooting for us? We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. They're just not sitting around because they know and they see him face to face. They see him and they plead with him. Help that poor Father Tom, the poor bum. He needs your help. He needs your help. He needs your help. Just pour out your spirit upon him. How much he needs you. Oh, they're praying for me. I know. I know. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Oh, I've got an inheritance. Oh, yes, an inheritance. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not talking that somebody left me in their will. I've got an inheritance sitting at the Father's right hand. I've got an inheritance that will not erode, corrode, or be destroyed. Because we've been predestined according to the purpose of Jesus Christ, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. We have an inheritance that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We should be living for the praise of his glory. We have an inheritance at the Father's right hand, an inheritance to bring healing to the sick, an inheritance to preach the gospel, an inheritance to Psalm 2 says, ask of me and I will give you the nations. Oh, I want the nations as an inheritance to go preach the gospel. We have an inheritance in Christ. Oh, mamma mia, listen to this. This is exciting. In whom we also trusted after that we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Not only did we have an inheritance, but we had a guarantee because he sealed us with the Holy Ghost. He filled us with the Holy Ghost, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of our purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In other words, he's the first payment, this Holy Spirit, of that which has been bought by the blood of Jesus. We have been sealed with the first payment, and you know what? It's all been paid for in the blood. We're not experiencing it all at this point because we're not in heaven. But I'm telling you, there's much more that we can be experiencing because Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The Spirit of God is sealed us for this inheritance. And you know what? Most of us are living like paupers. Most of us are living like we have nothing in our pockets, nothing in our spiritual pockets, you know. Oh, I'm waiting for the rapture, you know. Jesus is coming soon and very soon. Oh, honey, before the rapture, there's going to be a rupture, and you better be ready. Oh, you better be ready. You better not be feeding on milk. You better be starting to chew on the meat. You better be starting to trust in the Lord. You better know that he'll get you through because there's a rupture coming, not only in the United States of America, but in the whole world. There's an economic rupture coming. Have you seen the stock market lately? The other day it was down 144 points. Last night it was up 248. It's up and down like a roller coaster. It's just exactly what happened before the Great Depression. Oh, yes, and we're not ready because we are spiritually still on milk. Milk, and St. Paul tells us to the Corinthian community, you are not ready. You cannot be given meat. You're still on milk. I'm going to show you how we're on milk, and even the milk has been watered down. We have 60 million abortions, and only God knows how many chemical abortions. And we don't do anything about it. We don't do anything about it. Therefore, we have 30 million people who should be working, but they were all killed off. They were all killed off. And what do we do about it? We don't do anything about it. Oh, yes, we just want to get by today. I'm telling you, there's more than getting by today. That we got to take this life. We got to take this world for Jesus Christ. We've got to do something. We've got to live for the glory of his name. No more resting on your laurels, because they're taking our freedoms away from us. They're taking everything away from us. One day, they will take the tax-free number away from the church. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Then the only one we're going to be able to trust in is Jesus Christ. Oh yes, mark my words, they will take the tax-free number away from Jesus, from the churches, all the churches. You mark my words. Because they're desperate for money. They're desperate for money. We have a $13 trillion deficit, and the only one that's going to help us is the Lord Jesus. And you know what? Wherefore, I also have heard of your faith, Ephesian community, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love you have for the brethren, the saints. Isn't that wonderful? Faith working through love. I've heard of your faith, Ephesian community, and also the love that you have for the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you. I make mention of you in my prayers, St. Paul says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him. I want that, Jesus. I want a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you. I want these people to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you. I want you to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you, Lord. Not to know about you, but to know you and to know your ways. As you say in the 95th Psalm, 40 years I endured that generation. There are people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. Lord, I want a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you and to know your ways, so that I can walk in you and walk in your ways. Lord, I don't just want something ordinary. I need what you prayed for, St. Paul, for the Ephesian community, a spirit of wisdom and revelation of knowing him and knowing his ways. Oh, yeah, so that I'm putting my feet in the right direction and not in the flesh. I'm putting my feet walking toward the Lamb that was slain and not toward the pit. Oh, Lord, I need the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you and to know your ways. And you know, most people don't know the ways of God. They don't know the ways. You know why? Because they're all stuck in themselves. I'm going to tell you, if you're not a giver, if you don't use your money for the kingdom, you don't know the ways of God, because you're holding on to it and it's going to rot. I'm telling you, if you're not generous, I'm going to tell you, you're going to lose everything you have, because the Lord says, you know, he loves a cheerful giver. How can we expect God to give us spiritual things when we don't use the money that we have for the kingdom of God, when we don't use the money we have for the glory of God? You know what I'm saying? How can God give us something wonderful in the Holy Ghost when our money is our God? You know what I'm saying? I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. That filthy lucre, filthy lucre, filthy lucre. I tell you, it's for the kingdom of God. It's for the kingdom of God. I don't say you shouldn't have some saved. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you ought to be generous. How can you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation if you hold on to your money? And when you go to church, you put $2 in. You give a nod to God and give him a tip. We went yesterday to Ruby Tuesdays, okay? We didn't order very much, okay? You know, we weren't hungry. We ordered iced tea. Was good. And we ordered a hamburger, and we split it. And, you know, the guy kept on filling our iced tea up, you know what I'm saying? And I said to the man, I said, you know, we're not ordering much, but you're going to get a good tip. You're going to get a good tip. So we left him $8. You know, the bill was $23, so we left him $8. Some people don't even give God $8. Oh, but I'm so poor. What you sow is what you reap. You know. Yeah, I want a spirit of wisdom and revelation, but I'm cheap with God. I'm cheap with them. I'm cheap with them. I hold my money back because I have to depend upon myself. No, I have to depend upon the Lord. Yeah, this is all, it all works together. You know what I'm saying? People just don't want to do it. They're all afraid. Everybody's afraid. What am I afraid of? How could God trust you with spiritual things if he can't trust you with green pieces of paper with dead presidents on it? Like, how can he trust you with spiritual things? He can't. Oh, let's continue. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he's the Father of glory, hallelujah, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing him. Listen to this, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Oh, yes, Lord, I want the eyes of my understanding enlightened. I want them enlightened, Lord, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Oh, I want to know the hope of your calling. Oh, ask of me and I will give you the nations. I want the nations. The hope of your calling toward me, Lord, from the foundation of the world. Your calling toward me from the foundation of the world. And you know, you have to live by faith in order for that calling to come to fruition. There's a call on everybody's life. But if you don't live by faith, you'll never find it. Ask of me and I will give you the nations. I wonder how many of us are asking for the nations. I don't think many of us are. We're just trying to get by today because soon and very soon we're going to have the rapture. Yeah. Aspetta, as they say in Italian. Wait. The rapture is coming. The rapture is coming. And you know what? We better be ready for the rapture because we're called to be the light of the world in the midst of darkness. We're called to be the salt of the earth in the midst of no taste. For it says in Isaiah 60, arise, shine forth, for your light has come. For the glory of God shines upon you. Though the darkness covers the earth, it is the glory of God that shines upon you, and that's what's going to happen when the rapture happens. Arise, shine forth, O people of God, for the glory of God shines upon you. Though darkness covers the whole earth, the light, the glory of God will shine upon you. Oh, hallelujah. In the midst of the rapture, I'm not afraid, because the light of Christ will shine upon us, those who have given them lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have walked in faith. Oh, hallelujah! Do you understand what I'm saying? I understand what I'm saying. I understand it. Not totally, but I understand it. I'm not afraid of the rapture, and I'm not afraid that the darkness will cover the earth, because the glory of God will do miracles in the midst of it. Oh, and it's not going to be easy. But you know what? Who said it would be easy? But for the milk-drinking Christians, they'll fall away, because even their milk has been watered down. St. Paul said to the Corinthian community, I could not give you any meat because you're not mature. It's time to get mature. It's time to grow up. It's time to depend upon the Lord. It's time to know his ways. It's time to ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's time to know that you've been called from the foundation of the earth. It's time to know that he's got a plan for you. It's time to know that in these days of darkness, that the Lord says the light of Christ will shine upon you. It's time to know that the salvation of many will depend upon you. I'll say it again. The salvation of many will depend upon you. The salvation of many will depend upon you. And what is that exceedingly greatness of his power toward you and me who believe according to the working of his mighty power? What is it which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him high at the right hand in heavenly places? I tell you, that power in us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the Holy Ghost. The same power that went into that tomb where the Lord Jesus was the deadest person in the world, and the glory of God came upon that body and he became a life-giving spirit risen from the dead. Hallelujah! That same power dwells within the believer. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. My Lord, you read that Ephesians 1. You eat it today. You drink it today. Listen, it's 4 o'clock. Today is the 2nd of September, and it's my father's birthday. Pray for my father. 4 o'clock, we're going to be in the Holy Rosary. We're going to be worshiping God. If you want to come, you're welcome to come. 4 o'clock today. At the Holy Rosary, Now, Labor Day, we're going to have a day of worship. 11 to 1, we'll be worshiping God in the church. Then we're going to have a picnic, so you bring some stuff, some coal, some stoves, hot dogs. We're not going to make anything big. Just come and be with us. And then from 3 o'clock until 7, we're going to worship the Lord again, 7:30 Mass, and then have adoration. It's going to be a day of praise. You want to come to the day of praise, Labor Day? Hallelujah. Bring your bathing suits, because you know what? We've got the ocean across the street. So during the break, you go right into the drink. Bring your bathing suits, because we've got the ocean across the street. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to this, my friends. That's Labor Day. Again, today is the 2nd of September, and we will be having worship in the Holy Rosary Church today. You're welcome to come at 4 o'clock. I do need to hear from you. You know why? Because we can pay our bills with I hear from you. People have been very generous to us. We went to Connecticut, and I can't say the names of this person, but they were very generous for the poor and for our radio ministry. And we're still thousands of dollars behind, but you know what? The Lord is so good. Please help us. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We want to continue to proclaim the gospel and to encourage people, because the rupture is coming and I'm not afraid. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th of September, Warriors of Worship. 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th of September, Warriors of Worship in Phoenix, Arizona, Grace Inn. Hallelujah. What a name for a hotel. Grace Inn. We need the grace of the living God, I'll tell you. 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're welcome to come. www.catholicwow.org. www.catholicwow.org, 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 or call 847-962-7307, 847-962-7307, 847-962-7307. And Jimmy the Roofer is going to be in demand, because if Carl gets close to the coast, I'm going to tell you, you better call him now. His telephone number is 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. Jimmy the Roofer. 617-519-0341. 617-519-0341. See you at 4 o'clock today. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.